Blog Talk Radio.
Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, cousins, friends, sons and daughters, uncles and grandparents, I'm so glad you're my family. Oh, I'm so glad you're my family. 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 F-A-M-I-L-Y.
Everybody, this is the Family Matters Show with your host, Via Scrinier. I'm going to be bringing in our guest and Keisha Burcham in to the show right now. We were having some technical difficulty. I am now able to get everybody on the switchboard. So welcome, Keisha, and how are you doing this evening?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. So I had you guys on hold. We'll bring our guest in even though your phone line's open, we'll bring you on in a second. Yeah, just so everybody knows what was happening, we have a number that we call in as the host to get into our show, and it wasn't letting me get in until literally when it went to go live. So that's what was happening. So I was glad I was able to get in right before our music ended to open our show. The wonders of technology never cease to amaze me this week. So just really quickly, so our listeners here for the Family Matters know what we're talking about. By the way, Irene Roth isn't able to be with us this evening, late afternoon. She had a family emergency that came up, so we hope everything's okay with her and her family as she goes and takes care of that. But which is right on topic with what we do at this show. Tonight we're going to be talking about basically attention. It's attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Yeah, trying to get that out of my mouth there. And the idea of the show is, we know that of course this is a problem that's out there, just like many other different types of diagnosis with kids with autism and other type of typically titled mental disorders. But it seems like the typical thing most doctors do is like, well, let's just drug them up and have them out and about about their business. And the reality is that really the best thing to be doing? And is there other alternatives out there for parents? And I know that a lot of, as this grows in our country, in the United States, and in other countries as well, we're always looking for better ways of dealing with things versus seen on all the different prescription medications that are out there. So we actually have, and Nikki, if I get your last name wrong, I'm really sorry, but I think it's Nikki Van Volkenberg.
Right. How are you today? Hi, VS. Hi, Keisha.
It's that German background. I was like, I think that's it. That's what it would be like. So you're an author, and you have a book out there called Train Your Brain, Transform Your Life, Conquer Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder in 60 Days Without Ritalin,
which was
like a mouthful, which was also voted in 2011 the best self-improvement book by Mom's Choice Award, which is a fabulous honor to get. You also won Best Motivational Book by Reader's Favorite Award, another really great one to get, and you were a grand finalist in the U.S. Today Book Awards. So, I mean, this isn't a book that, people are going, oh, well, she probably self-published it and she's just some quack. I mean, you've had three pretty big known award, companies say, yes, this is a good book.
Yeah, well, basically, I'm an investigative journalist. Sometimes mm-hmm. people ask me if I'm a doctor, and I'm not, but I have a master's in counseling and journalism, and I'm also a mom. And I've written my book. It's called Train Your Brain, Transform Your Life, Conquer ADHD in 60 Days Without Ritalin. And my book describes a way to conquer attention deficit disorder with or without hyperactivity in 60 days. And it's called ADHD. And most people, like you said, take prescription drugs like Ritalin or Adderall, but my book describes another way to tackle ADHD without taking drugs, and this is brain training. And my book describes a method of brain training that's currently used in clinics across the country. It's really popular, and it's clinically tested and very effective, and now you can do it in the comfort of your own home. You can train your brain to conquer ADHD at home, and that saves you time, energy, and money.
Right, and it isn't, I mean, I don't really have any friends of mine, and I know, Keisha, with you working, you know, with the school system, I'm sure you've come across the ADHD more often. I don't have any friends, but I do have friends who deal with, you know, kids that are, you know, autistic or just have, you know,
ADHD. Well, that program has been used with autism as well, the ALERT program.
Yeah.
I did a little research, and it's been very successful with autism and emotional-type disturbances with kids. So
yeah.
There's a lot of, if you look back, there's a good bit of research on that ALERT program. I had seen it before. I'm a counselor myself, and I'd seen it in some
great
in-services and all. But you know what? My thought is that it's probably, you know, a lot of families would love to know about it, and I think I think anything's worth trying before meds. I wonder if pharmaceutical companies have, I think it might be deliberately hidden because, you know, there is a lot more money in pharmaceutical treatments than there are cures, and perhaps that's why it's not as readily knowledgeable about to the general public.
I would so agree with you on that, Keisha, and I'm going to say, and I can say that that's a total truth about pharmaceutical companies. My stepdad, he's not a he's not a medical doctor, he's a dentist, but, you know, even as a dentist, places would come and say, hey, we'll give you a kickback. And if they're doing their dentistry,
I totally believe that's true.
No, it does. It's true. That does happen. So I'm right with you, Keisha, on the fact that that's one reason why we wanted to have you on the show, Nikki, because, you know, I know that does happen with the kickback. And, you know, it happens in the hospitals, it happens in doctor's offices, that they're getting these kickbacks from the pharmaceutical companies. And, you know.
And there are other kinds of, you know, I mean, kids on drugs, if you can avoid it. At all costs, if you cannot put them on Ritalin. I mean, I think ADHD is overdiagnosed. I don't think that's always the case, and I think we give meds quickly, and I think there are a lot of things, just behavior modification and diet changes. But I'd really like to hear specifically, like the ALERT program, exactly how it works on ADHD specifically.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, what it is, it's a pair of headphones and some special eyeglasses and a little control box with pre-programmed sessions. It's probably about the size of a Walkman. So how it works is you lay back on your bed, you put on the headphones, you put on these special eyeglasses, you cover up with a blanket, and you flip the switch on the control box. And you'll see some mild flashing lights, and you'll hear some heartbeat sounds. And what you're seeing and hearing is actually the rhythm of peak performance. It's the rhythm of a person who's optimally listening, focusing, tuning out distractions, getting organized, and being productive. It's that person that we all want to be, and by doing these sessions, just 22 minutes a day, you will actually, you're practicing this rhythm. And it's like they say, practice makes perfect, and repetition creates mastery. So by doing the sessions every day, you're practicing them, you eventually master them, and by the end of 60 days, you will have created this new neural pathway in your brain, which is the rhythm of peak performance, and then your brain will go with that rhythm instead of the ADHD or the post-traumatic
stress. So your brain automatically picks up that's the preferred mode, you don't have to do anything. It just, your brain picks up that what you're listening to and seeing is the preferred method it knows.
I like to tell people
without any effort yourself, how do you do that?
That this is the lazy way to get rid of ADHD, because you can do it lying flat on your back with your eyes closed. But there's science behind it. This was discovered by a neurologist at UCLA. His name's Dr. Barry Sturman, and he's still teaching there today. He teaches neuroscience, which is the science of the brain. He teaches that to medical students. He teaches medical students about the brain. But he was in his lab, and he had feral cats. These are cats that are born out in the wild without any human contact. And if you've ever had one of these cats come by your house, they might eat the food, but a lot of times as soon as they're done eating, they'll run off. They're real skittish about being touched or handled. But these were the subjects that Dr. Barry Sturman had in his lab, and he introduced them to sound waves. And he called these sound waves that he exposed the cats to, he called it the sensory motor rhythm because it affected the sensory motor part of the brain. And by conditioning these cats, exposing these cats to this rhythm every day, he noticed that they were very calm, they were even keeled, they allowed themselves to be petted and handled, and they would even ignore the distraction of food and water when they heard these rhythms. And he thought, well, this is interesting, you know, and he wrote about it in some scientific journals. He said, I found a rhythm that affects the sensory motor part of the brain. One day, his lab assistant came to him. Her name was Margaret Fairbanks, and she said, Dr. Sturman, I saw what you did with those cats. Do you think you could test that rhythm on me? You see, I have epilepsy, and because of my medical condition, I can't get my driver's license. And it's such a hassle. My husband's got to take me to work. If I want to go to the store, I have to hitch a ride. And I'm always dependent upon other people for transportation. And I really want my independence. I want my driver's license. And Dr. Sturman said, now, hold on a minute. You know, I don't know what this rhythm will do for you, but if you want to be my guinea pig, yeah, sure, let's try it out. Because there, as far as I can tell, there are no side effects to this treatment. So she came in every day, and she listened to these sound waves. And at the end of the 60 days, she went back to her doctor, and they ran a battery of tests on her. They did MRIs. They did EEGs. They tested her blood pressure. They tested all of her vital functions. And at the end of that, they were looking at the results, and they were just scratching their heads. And they said, you know what, Margaret, you don't have epilepsy anymore. I don't know what happened, but there is no trace of epilepsy on your records whatsoever. It's gone. And she's like, this is amazing. And she's like, can I get a note from you? Can I get a note? Because I want to go get my driver's license today. I've been reading that handbook. I'm ready to take that test. Sure enough, she got the note, and that day she went to DMV and got her license. And she's been driving ever since. The epilepsy never came back. She's been continually practicing this rhythm, and the words got out. You know, people from all over the country started coming to Dr. Sturman, lining outside of his office, saying, hey, I want to be the next person to be cured of epilepsy. I brought my sister with me. I brought my brother. We all want to be cured. And that's what Dr. Sturman did for years, and he still does that today. He works with epileptics. But researchers start to say, if he could do that with the stray cats, if he can do this with the epileptics, what can he do with children? Children that have learning disabilities, children that see their B's and D's backwards, children that read a book and then they can't even remember what they read, children with test anxiety, children that can't get organized, their room's a mess, they can't pick up, they can't even organize their ideas to write an essay or to do their homework. You know, what can this rhythm do for them? So Dr. Sturman met with these two psychology professors at the University of Knoxville, Joel and Judith Lubar, and they are still teaching. They had worked with learning disabled children for years, and they fine-tuned the protocol. They fine-tuned it even more, and they made a special protocol for ADHD. And today this rhythm is used in clinics all across the country. Now what I have is I am a licensed distributor for this home-based system. I tried this home-based system. When I found this company, a friend of mine recommended it. I bought the system. I used it. I got wonderful results. And then I wanted to find out, well, why does it work? And when I started digging into the research, it was like opening a treasure chest. So my book is all about that. My book shows all of the research that's behind it. It shows the benefits of using the alert, And I even discovered that this is part of the Health Canada initiative. Now, if anybody listening to this radio broadcast lives in Canada, you can walk into any doctor's office, tell them that you have ADHD, tell them that you have dyslexia or post-traumatic stress, depression, anxiety attacks, any number of problems, and you can get this device. It's a Class 2 medical device, and it might be covered by your insurance because it's part of that Health Canada initiative.
Wow. You know, I have a question because, I mean, when I was growing up, it was always ADD. That was always heard about. Everybody has ADD.
Right.
And everybody was getting... So is there really a difference between ADHD and ADD? Because to me, it seems like they're pretty much almost the same thing. It's just been reclassified.
Right. Well, ADD is, of course, attention deficit disorder, and that's the old label. But the
right.
American Psychological Association, they are now pushing the new label, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and it's kind of an umbrella term. It covers ADD and ADHD or the combined type.
Okay.
Yes,
so it's
just
the label.
You could have
yeah.
without the hyperactivity, and so they use
yeah,
two different ones.
Yeah,
but you could be ADD
that.
Without the hyperactivity.
Yeah, that's what I wanted
right.
to explain, because I think a lot of people think, well, what's the difference, you know, because, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We all grew up with the one term, you know, us older people.
Right,
and elders,
right. And that term, you know, it's been used for years.
Yeah.
But now, you know, when I wrote my book, I went to the company that produces this device, and I asked them to proofread it for accuracy, and they told me that. They said, you need to use the term ADHD because that's the term that the American Psychological Association uses now. So that's what I did.
Now, here's something, because, I mean, a lot of... And trust me, I have an almost 2.5-year-old now that is very, very hyperactive. I mean, she, if
mm-hmm.
you don't keep her in her, and that's the thing, I think sometimes with parents, like with her, I mean, if I don't keep her entertained, busy doing stuff, she gets bored, she starts getting into things, you know, it starts losing her attention, and she's, you know, she's off and going. And I don't by any means think my daughter is ADD or ADHD or anything, you know, I don't think she's slightly autistic, whatever. I mean, but a lot of parents jump to that conclusion. So as a parent, you know, or, you know, someone who is new in the teaching world, I'm sure, Keisha, you've watched this with new teachers, you know, they're still trying to identify this. How would somebody like that know the difference between maybe I need to go have my child looked at and this
mm-hmm.
is just typical for their age? Because it's so easy, you know, like you should mention earlier, to misdiagnose and just go, oh, well, you know, yeah, slap the label on and here you go, here's your Ritalin or, you know, Prozac or whatever the heck they want to give your child and off you go.
Right. Well, you know, there's no medical test. There's no blood test. There's no urine test or anything like that to measure ADHD. It's a list of symptoms. And you can go to a psychologist and test and be tested by it. But the problem with that is it's very subjective. You know, a lot of very intelligent people have ADHD. Einstein had ADHD. This is somebody who was brilliant. And in his day, the name Einstein was not synonymous with intelligence. This was a guy who refused to do his homework. He refused to pay attention in class. All he wanted to do was get out his journal and doodle and study his little scientific theories and do his own thing. But by doing that, he actually found his passion. He found something that absolutely turned on his brain power. And that's what I encourage kids. A lot of times you see with children, if they're playing video games, their brain power is definitely turned on. Now, why is that when they're playing video games, they can pay attention? When they're reading a book, a lot of times they zone out. Well, obviously, the book is not stimulating to them, and we need to find a way to make things stimulating, interesting, exciting for children so that we can turn on their brain power.
Well, that's true, but also as far as what you were asking about, how do you know and how do you diagnose and all, what we use in schools is we use a checklist, because like you said, it's a list of symptoms. We use a checklist typically with true ADHD.
Yeah, the Connors. It's
yeah,
called the Connors checklist. Yeah, right.
We use the Connors. And it's, and one of the things is I would say the rule is that it's got to be across two or more settings, meaning that if a child appears to have attention deficit hyperactive symptoms at school, he or she would also display those at home. And if you get the survey back from the parent and you get the survey back from the school and they're vastly different, you can pretty safely figure that it's probably not ADHD, because what that says is that they behave a certain way at school and a certain way at home, and that implies choice, whereas ADHD isn't something you just have at school or you just have at home. It's going to show in both places. And there are times when it's a lack of discipline in one place or the other, and they just simply know what they can and can't do. So, but like you said, there's no blood test. There's no – it's observation, right. And it's across – mm-hmm. And typically it manifests itself pretty early. It's rare that you're diagnosed in high school. You know, I mean, it could have been that it went on a long time and you developed coping mechanisms, which is good because ultimately that's probably your best bet. But typically you're going to see it very early on when they start to go to a structured environment like kindergarten or first grade.
Yeah. Because my husband sometimes wonders about, like I said, about our 10-and-a-half-year-old because the way she is, I'm like, she's two. You know, what do you expect? You know, they're all over the place. They're still discovering, and they do have a short attention span. You know, it's very true. I just think sometimes parents jump a little too soon to slap the labels on, just like, you know, I think sometimes medical doctors can as well, mm-hmm. you know. And that's just, you know, one thing I was just kind of wanting you guys to kind of talk about, because, you know, sometimes I wonder if that's why it's a growing number, you know, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, I think about that with autism. Like, why is it all of a sudden are we seeing a growth in autism in kids versus many years ago when it wasn't as, you know, big of a number? You know, like, what are the factors? You know, is it, are we jumping to conclusion a little too soon? You know, or is it, you know, something that we're fundamentally doing in the early stages of our kids' growth that's causing it? I'm not saying it's shots because I totally believe in vaccinating, but you know what I'm saying. So that's just kind of... why I'm throwing these out here.
Well, it is interesting how many more diagnoses there are. And I think a lot of it has to do. I went to a little in-service about this, which I think probably is worthy of a lot of exploration at another time. But one of the statistics was that like 16% of childbearing women have dangerous amounts of mercury in their systems. We still are carrying around DDT, even though it's been, I think, banned for years. I think there are a lot of chemicals in our environment and in our food and everywhere that we don't realize we're ingesting. And I tend to believe that that could contribute a little bit to some of these disorders that we're seeing, maybe because there are more of them. I do think some things are overdiagnosed, but, you know, being in public schools, I see stuff. And I do think, wow, what's gone wrong with so many of these children? And I think there is a small part of this that has to do with genetics, that things had happened, you know, before you were ever pregnant or during pregnancy that no mom intended, but that who knows what we're really breathing and eating half the time. I mean, really? We may not be privy to all the details, certainly not to how they might affect, you know, our children.
Right. Nikki,
well, I tell you what, if...
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Well,
no, go ahead.
If a person does have some signs of ADHD, whether they're a child or an adult, I would say that the last thing in the world that you possibly want to do is to take Ritalin, Adderall, Concerta, Dexedrine, any of that. Avoid those drugs. They're all amphetamines, and they're in the same family as cocaine. They're very chemically similar to cocaine. And the problem with these drugs is that they're really, they don't do anything. They're a temporary fix. It only lasts as long as you take that pill. Any good that Ritalin does immediately disappears when you stop taking the drug. And whether you take Ritalin for a few days, months, or years, any problems will come back as soon as that last pill is taken. And another problem is that those drugs are very dangerous. Most people think that Ritalin is safe and mild because it's so quickly prescribed to children. And in reality, it's a very hardcore drug. It's an amphetamine. It's chemically similar to cocaine. And all of these drugs have side effects. It causes your veins and arteries to squeeze together or contract so that your heart has to work even harder. Your heart has to work overtime, and that's a side effect that's listed in the physician's desk reference. And there's also withdrawal, rebound. Ritalin can stunt your growth. It suppresses your appetite, and it also disrupts your growth hormones.
Well, and also my other that's where my question will lead to about these.
Yeah.
Do you get prescribed for this? Is for example, my 16-year-old son. I mean, he's allergic to everything across the board. I mean, kid you not. There's very few things he can take when he is severely ill. Like he had scarlet fever, and they had to wait till it was really bad before they even gave him anything, which was really scary, just because of how, you know, he reacts to drugs. So in a situation like that, you know, I worry about him because not that he has anything like that. But, you know, if when he was growing up, I used to worry about, you know, what happens if he ends up with something where he needs to take, you know, some type of medication. Because, you know, it's, you know, as parents, we think, oh, you know, they're going to prescribe something to my kid for this, you know, these problems. And I was worried about it because I'm like, you know, what would be the likelihood of him being addicted? And from that, maybe going into hardcore drugs from there and then dying because of his, you know, how sensitive he is to medication. And so, you know...
I would love for him to try this alert because it does so many things. It increases oxygen to the brain. It increases blood flow to the brain. It increases cerebral blood flow. It stimulates and arouses the brain, and it also stabilizes the tempo of your brain waves. If your brain waves are too fast, if they're hyperactive, or maybe they're too slow, they're sluggish. Either way, it's either too fast or too slow, but the machine teaches you an even-keeled rhythm. I like to call it the rhythm of peak performance, but Dr. Barry Sternman, when he discovered it, he called it the sensory-motor rhythm because it affects the sensory-motor part of the brain. And actually, this system does the same thing as the drugs do without the side effects. What Ritalin and Adderall, Dexedrine, what these drugs do is they give you a boost of neurotransmitters in the brain. It gives you a boost of dopamine, a boost of serotonin. But the problem with the drugs is that your brain gets lazy. Your brain thinks, I don't need to produce these neurotransmitters on my own because the drugs are coming. And, yeah, I'm about to get a boatload of these drugs, so... You know, and then your brain becomes dependent upon that drug. It gets so lazy that it doesn't do those things unless you take the drugs. But the machine will also boost your neurotransmitters, and it'll do so naturally without the side effects.
Let me ask you this. If I were a parent and I wanted to try this, and let's say my insurance didn't cover it, or I didn't have insurance. Like in public schools, many, many children don't. And I doubt some of our 10 care and some of our public health programs, they may or may not cover it. I don't know. What kind of investment am I looking at financially?
Well, I have a Bill Me Later program, so people can have up to 1 year to pay without interest. The cost of it is $370, so that comes out to about $35 a month if you want to make payments on it.
Well,
and, you know, I have people...
And we're talking about a permanent cure as opposed to a prescription that could go on for life.
Right. This is actually a permanent and lasting cure for your brain. And if you buy my system, it comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you try it, it doesn't quite work out, you can return it and get your money back.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a win-win right there.
Yeah, and it's not like it's thousands of dollars, which is really, that was a nice thing to hear. I was like, oh, you know, it's a few thousand. I'm like, okay. You know, I mean, you know, a few hundred is nothing, you know, when it's like you just said, a lifetime.
Right. I mean, if you think about the results that you get, you get tremendous, tremendous results. That would make it worth it.
Yeah, what's the youngest you've seen this treatment used on? I mean, I'm pretty sure you have kids who are 3, 4, 5 years old who are being diagnosed with, you know, ADHD.
Well, the youngest I have would be a kindergartner, like 4 or 5 years old. Mm-hmm. I like to tell kids, when kids use it, that it's a space age machine, it's a Star Wars machine. And if I tell them that, it becomes real mysterious and exciting. Any child who can put on the headphones and eyeglasses and lay still for 22 minutes, they can use it. you'll only see and hear the flashing lights and the heartbeat sounds for a few seconds, and then you have kind of a feeling of falling asleep or going under an anesthetic, and you relax so deeply. It's kind of like getting a massage. The rhythm is so incredibly relaxing that you will actually fall asleep, and then you'll wake up when the session is over, when the sounds taper off and it's over.
So how long would a session typically be?
22 minutes. How
okay.
it works, there are 12 sessions. So you do one session 5 days in a row, and then you go on to the next one. You do that 5 days in a row. You go on to the next one. Each session builds upon the previous one. There are 12 sessions. You do them 5 times each for a total of 60 days.
Now, do you take breaks in between, like, you know, take a day off, or are they consecutive?
Well, it's consecutive. It's only 22 minutes, so it's
yeah.
really short. And the machine also comes with some extra sessions, like there's some extra ADHD sessions. There is a session for insomnia. If you ever have trouble sleeping,
wow.
you can try that. There's a session for jet lag. If you have jet lag from traveling or a headache, something like that, you could try that session.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because, I mean, my husband and I are both prone to migraines. And so I was just wondering, have you had anybody ever try this, that get, like, migraines as well, that have found relief in it? Because, I mean, I don't want to say it sounds like a relaxation technique, but I'm sort of thinking, you know, I do yoga late at night when the kids are in bed. And my favorite part is, of course, you know, at night when you're toward the end of it and they have you laying down and it's just like the nice music's playing and they're doing the whole
right.
you know, Domus Day part.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, and you just feel yourself sinking into the ground. And so I'm just wondering, you know, someone who gets like migraines or, you know, tends to have high stress in their life, has anybody that, you know,
right.
doesn't technically have a medical
It is used
problem?
For that, yeah. In Canada, people get it all the time for post-traumatic stress, and it does help with things like headaches. Yeah, sure, migraines. I had a client, he had a very unusual story to tell, in that he had night terrors. He was a military veteran, but he had been out of the military for 15 years.
Wow.
The problem was, as he was waking up in the middle of the night, he was hearing bombs going off, he saw explosions, he saw dead bodies. So he woke up drenched in sweat, often screaming. And he wasn't sleeping well. His wife was like, "You're driving me crazy. We got to do something." He had tried all kinds of things. He had tried memorizing Bible verses, praying before going to bed, eating an extremely nutritional diet, running, joining a gym, getting a personal trainer, memorizing affirmations. He had tried all kinds of things. And these things, they helped a little bit, but he kept having these night terrors. So he bought my system. And after 30 days, he said, "You know, I'm still having these night terrors, but they're less often. Like, maybe I'll have them once a week or every 5 days. But even that's an improvement." So I said, "Okay, stay on the system. And just after 60 days, let me know how you're doing. You're doing great." So after 60 days, he called me and he said, "You know, Nikki, somewhere along the line, my night terrors just faded away and they never came back. And I finally feel like I'm free. It is such a blessing. I'm just thanking God for my victory." And now it's been actually time. This has happened about a year ago. It's been a year. He still calls from time to time. And he hasn't had a night terror since. He says, "I am free of night terrors."
Wow.
Wow. That makes you want to say, are the armed forces, you know, the military hospitals aware?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they try this kind of thing at all.
Well, this is my next book. That's the next book that I'm writing on. Actually, last week I also had a testimony from an autistic girl. Her mother, Jessica from Fort Collins, called me, and they bought the alert for her daughter, and her daughter is autistic and she has post-traumatic stress. The poor girl, she's in her 20s now, but in high school she had to go to a regular high school, and she was in a classroom and she had to go to the bathroom. The teacher would not let her go. She goes, "No, you're sitting right there in your seat. You're not going anywhere." Well, the girl ended up wetting herself, and the teacher humiliated her in front of the class. She goes, "You're going to pick that up, and afterwards you're going to go stand in the corner." So she did this. Well, she came home that day, and she was slamming doors. She was incredibly upset, but she couldn't tell her mom what happened. She's autistic, you know. So her mom had to go back to the school, try to find out what happened. Well, come Monday morning, the girl said, I'm not going to school. I'm just not going back there. No way am I going back to school. And she refused. So the mother had to, you know, homeschool her. Well, ever since then, the poor girl has had social anxiety. Something simple like going to the store, she starts shaking real bad. She sees people around her. She's like, I got to get out of here. I can't stay here. I've got to leave. And, you know, just she said, the mother said, you know, I feel like I'm a prisoner in my own home. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. Well, they bought the alert. They're using it every day. And she called me last week. She had been on the alert for 2 weeks. And she said, I feel like I'm coming out of darkness. It's like
oh,
somebody's lifting the blinds in my house. She said, my daughter is like a new person. She's showing affection towards me. She's giving me little kisses and hugs. And she's talking more. She's opening up. And she said, Mom, I want to go on a bike ride. So she said, we got on our bikes. We started driving, like bicycling around the neighborhood. And then we started doing little things together, like walking. And then we went to the grocery store together. And she didn't have a meltdown. It was a miracle. And then she said, Mommy, I'd like to go to the movies. I want to see a kid's movie. So they went to the movies, and they started doing this every week, going to the movies. And the mom said, she's like a new person. She said, I can hardly wait till I get to the end of 60 days and see what happens with my daughter. But up until this point, I am so excited. I feel like I have a new daughter, and I feel like I'm coming out of darkness.
What a great story. That is great.
Yeah, that is. I mean,
and to do it without drugs, without talk therapy, all she did is lay back on her bed, close her eyes, and use the machine. How easy is that?
So what do you think about, what do you think about why, if it can be this powerful and this effective and successful, then, okay, beyond our pharmaceutical conspiracy theme, what other reason could there possibly be if you can save people with epilepsy and autism and ADHD and all these things that are so prevalent and such chores for public schools and such, it's just hard for everybody involved if it's that simple.
Right.
Is it just pharmaceuticals?
Yeah. Well, that's why I wrote my book, and that's why I'm on Family Matters, because I'm trying to do as many radio shows as I possibly can. The manufacturer of the device is Mind Alive in Canada, and they do a lot of clinical studies and things like that. In order to sell the machine, I had to take a class from them and pass an exam and get licensed. So that's what I did, and I wrote my book. I encourage everyone listening, come to my website. It's www.trainyourbraintransformyourlife.com. You can read the first two chapters of my book absolutely free. I'm giving away a free ebook, 5 Dumb Things People Believe About ADHD. There's a free downloads page. You can get a report called Information for Your Doctor. Take this information to your doctor. A lot of people have used that report to get this covered by their insurance, even in America. So check out my book, check out my website.
Well, it sounds
Train
like
your brain, change your life.
Yeah, honestly,
yeah.
It sounds
transform
like
your life.
In Canada, that it's been a little bit more widely accepted than, you know, because you're saying that there's a few places that are using, you know, the system and treatment and stuff. So I'm just wondering if it's just a U.S. thing, too, because, you know.
It's the FDA. Canada has somewhat of a socialized medicine system, so they have a different system than we do. But, you know,
it's not about money
people
there.
Can still discover it. I don't know. Well, I guess the company's headquartered there. Maybe that's why they've had a little more success. But, you know, the word's getting out. There's you look on PBS, and Dr. Daniel Amen is often on there talking about the brain, talking about natural ways to train the brain. And there's a best-selling book by psychiatrist Dr. Norman Doidge, The Brain That Changes Itself, Tales from the Frontier of Brain Science, and has all success stories in there about brain training.
Yeah, well,
wow.
I mean, this makes sense because, I mean, I didn't do this with my first two, but I have seen a huge difference between my last one, because I have 3 kids. And my oldest, you know, I rocked him to sleep, and I used to sing to him when he was a kid, you know, typical lullaby type songs. And he loves music. I mean, he appreciates music, and he is more of a creative mind than an analytical mind, and I sometimes don't have something to do with it. My second child, I don't know what I did. I was a bad mom. I rocked her, but usually she liked to be pushed around in her stroller at night to go to sleep, and then she'd go to sleep. So I didn't sing to her as much, and we didn't play music that much in our house. And mm-hmm. she's definitely more of our academic, analytical kid. But our last one, the two-and-a-half-year-old, with her, I started playing classical music. I found this toy that, you know, it plays musical melody is what it calls it. It plays basically six of the classic symphonies from the great composers. And I just started playing that for her at night when she'd go to bed just to kind of help soothe her. And I have noticed that our other two, at her age, she is doing more. And I mean, so a lot of people always ask me, like, is she three? I'm like, no, she's, and this was back when she wasn't even two yet. People are like, is she almost three? I'm like, no, she's going to be turning two. And I sometimes wonder, you know, if it's really true what they always said about classical music, you know, play classical music for your little kids because it helps stimulate their brain. And just listening to you talk about all this, I'm going, you know, they're probably, from what I've seen with just the classical music with my little one, I think it's really true that there's a lot that we don't realize that stuff like this really does do if we introduce it at the right times.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's when Baby Einstein first came out, that was based on that principle, using classical music. And it had, back then, if you have some of the old Baby Einstein CDs and stuff, she used to put binaural beats in there, special beats to help train the brain and to encourage, thinking and to actually awaken and arouse the brain, to stimulate and arouse the brain. So she used to put binaural beats in there. That is a whole another, you know, there are brain training tapes using classical music. You know, that is something, yeah, the Mozart Effect is a book written about that.
Yeah, and I remember.
But
when
that's wonderful that you've had that success. I mean, wow!
I have.
Can't wait to
see
how she turns out. That's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, and she is the one, like I said, that if we don't keep her, involved, I mean, she does get bored and will start becoming very destructive. Like right before the show started, because I was trying to get everything going for the show, she had no problem taking all her puzzles and throwing them all over the house and being completely a little butt. But.
I remember that. My kids did that too.
But I'm like, you know, she's just mad because no one's giving her attention right now, and I knew that's what it was. But but I do see a fundamental difference between my older two versus her, because, you know, and she does. I mean, it's funny, she hears Fantasia come on the TV and she sits right in front of it and is completely calm. You put any other Disney movie on that doesn't have music and she could care less about it. Could care less. As long as it's singing, Fantasia's her favorite because obviously it's all music, but, you know, it has to be some other singing princess something, or otherwise she doesn't care. She care less.
Does she like the sing-along videos, the Disney sing-along?
Yeah, she loves,
Those are really good.
And I think she's going to be musically inclined because of this, definitely. But it made me start thinking. That was like when you had contacted us through email and, you know, started sharing this, well, I was like, you know, hey, Keisha and Irene, what do you guys think? Because, you know, I was seeing just on the, you know, just... Because I used to make fun, I will be totally honest, I used to make fun of Baby Einstein, going, oh, okay, it's another quack idea, to sell merchandise. Because I come from the retail marketing world, so I'm thinking, oh, yeah, there's no way to sell merchandise. But, here I am many years later going, no, it's actually true. I mean, I do see a difference between her and her older siblings because of it. And so, you know, I honestly think that, you know, and obviously there's science behind what you're talking about, you know, as well, that this stuff, you know, works. And to me it's like to spend, you know, $300 and what was the price again, Nikki?
$370?
Yeah, to spend $370. So just under $400 to try something like this out. I mean, how many people try and spend hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars on weight loss?
Find something. You could spend that much in pharmaceuticals just trying to find something that works, because many times you got to be on something for 3 or 4 or 6 weeks to see if it's effective. Well, if it is or isn't, they're going to try something else. You could be talking months of drug experimentation, you know, and spend way more than that doing that. Even with insurance, you might.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, I mean, it's funny because, you know, people hear this stuff and they think, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. But, I mean, for some reason we have no problem, like I was just saying, you know, spending money on, you know, stuff, lose weight fast drugs that, you know, most of the time,
mm-hmm.
we know aren't going to work, and we're going to, like, quadruple in size afterwards.
Oh.
I mean, so,
yes.
I mean, to me, what's the worst that's going to happen? Okay, so you sit there for 22 minutes, and at least you got a nice, you know, relaxing listen if you feel like it didn't work for you.
Right.
And I like, I
like. Well, and you get your money back. If it doesn't work,
you
don't like it.
Yeah,
get your money back. But you really
yeah.
don't have anything to lose.
I think Marcia's calling in. Let me bring Marcia.
Marcia,
are you calling in?
Yeah,
are you
just
listening?
I'm listening. I want to see you on the air. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. Well, Marcia's my partner.
Thank you for calling, Marcia.
Marcia, what do you think from what you've listened? I mean, you've worked in pediatric offices in the past. I mean,
what do I think about
this, you know, alternative to being put on drugs for, you know, ADHD.
Well,
I mean,
well, I think that they do it way too much.
Only because
some of the kids, they really, you know, they just have to develop at their own speed, and sometimes they, you know, they do develop later. Boys especially sometimes develop later.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't hear what you said before on the show, but what were you saying?
Well, we're the fact that, you know, you can use, you know, this sound. What's the catch term for this, Nikki? I don't want to get it wrong.
It's a brain training system or a light and sound machine.
It's
called the alert brain training system. Yeah.
So you don't have to take meditation or Ritalin or anything like that then?
No.
Yeah, you don't. It's a 60-day protocol, and you use it 22 minutes a day, and it uses light and sound to actually stimulate and arouse the brain and train the brain to develop an even-keeled rhythm. Yeah.
Well, do the kids, I mean, you do this on a routine basis?
Wait, there's a lot of noise back there.
Marcia, it's for 60 days, but you can always, you know, redo the program too. But, yeah, so basically so you don't, and I guess people with epilepsy have been using it, and autism patients have used it. They've used it for post-traumatic.
That's good for that. That's great for that, yes. That would be really cool. Yeah, because I favor a lot of anything that's not as much medicine, because if kids don't have to take medicine, I think it's better. But sometimes they have to, you know. But if they don't, if they can find alternatives, I think that's a good thing, that they're trying to do different things for the children.
I agree.
All right, we'll put Marcia back on hold.
because I'm in the car, and I just want to make sure that the show went on. Okay.
I just cut her off. Sorry, Marcia, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Thank you, Marcia, for calling in, though. That was cool.
just for those who don't know, Marcia Casper Cook is my partner for the World of Ink Network, and she's a writer and a script agent out of Chicago. And she's worked in pediatric offices, and, you know, she's a real big one for doing shows that are on stuff like this. She actually does a lot of shows with cancer survivors and stuff on her show, Good Stories, A Good Story, here on the BTR World of Ink Network. So, yeah, she's a big, big supporter of finding alternatives for people to make their lives better, which is always a good thing.
Cool.
It really is. Okay, so here's one thing. When you sent your information to us, Nikki, one of the catch terms that you put in here was brain plasticity, which is kind of like the buzzword about, you know, how your brain is plastic. Explain, you know, kind of what that buzzword means and the, I don't want to say the hype behind it, but, you know, the whole excitement behind this new buzzword, because that's why they always call it buzzword, because everybody gets excited when they hear it.
Yeah, it is a new buzzword to say that your brain is plastic. It used to be, it doesn't mean that your brain is made out of silly putty, but it means that your brain is flexible, changing, and growing, and throughout your life, from birth on to old age. Mm-hmm. It used to be thought that the brain you're born with is the one that you're stuck with, And now we know that your brain continues to change, grow, and develop from up until the time that you're up until the time that you die. That book that I mentioned earlier, Dr. Norman Doidge's book, The Brain That Changes Itself, it has so many. I just encourage everyone to try to get that book, and you can get it from the library. And read it. And also in my book, I share, three case studies from that book. But one of them was about a man who had had a stroke, and he had been a college professor, and he had had a stroke, and basically he was a vegetable. He had to be lifted in and out of bed. He had to be, carried to the toilet. He could barely walk or do anything. And they wanted to institutionalize him. Now, his son was studying rehabilitation at the time and said, no, not my dad. I'm not putting him in an institution. I'm taking him home, and I'm going to work with him. So he brought him home, and he didn't even know what to do. But he said, I'm going to teach him, a baby has to learn to crawl before they can walk. So I'm going to teach him how to crawl. And he taught him how to, hold himself up and drag himself on his elbows and crawl through the house. Then he took him outside in the yard and said, okay, the sunlight's good for you, that vitamin D, let's practice crawling. And so they'd be crawling up and down the yard, and the neighbors would be looking out the window and said, what is he doing to that man? The poor guy's had a stroke. My God, let him rest. You're sitting here putting him out in the yard, forcing him to crawl around. And, Dr. Paul, he yelled back, you know what? I love my dad. I'm not hurting him. I'm working with him. I'm training his brain. I'm doing something that's good for him. And my dad's not going to rest. I'm going to make him work, but it's good for him. So he had him crawl, then he brought him in the house, and he taught him how to scrub pans clockwise and then counterclockwise. And they did all these drilling things, putting lids on bottles, unscrewing them. And it was all these manual activities. He did that for the longest time. Finally, the guy, he learned to crawl, he learned to walk, he learned to talk again. And he went back to teaching full time. He went back to teaching college. And he had been a widow. His wife had passed away. He met another woman, got remarried, and lived happily ever after. And it's such a wonderful success story. And it showed, if Dr. Paul had taken the doctor's advice and institutionalized him, he would have died that way. He would never have gotten better. He would never have gotten remarried. He would never have gone back to teaching in college. But by training his brain, retraining that brain, he was able to, develop new neural pathways in the brain, the part of the brain that had been damaged by the stroke. All of that had gotten restored. And the man lived up until he was in his late 80s when he passed away. And Dr. Paul, they had asked him, can we examine your father's brain now that he's passed away? And at first he didn't want to do it, but he said, okay, yeah, let's do it. So they looked at the brain, and they actually saw in the brain, they could still see the part that had had a stroke, but there were new neural pathways around it, and they saw that he had actually grown new brain cells in the brain, and his brain had actually gotten bigger and expanded, and that part where he had the stroke was no longer used, and these new neural pathways, those were the active ones, and he had a very healthy brain at the time of his death. And it was such a testimony that brain training really does work. And his brain, the brain is plastic. Our brain is capable of changing, growing, and developing up until old age.
Yeah, which,
that was a long story.
No, that's okay. And I've heard that. And I can't remember the actual name of the show. I think it's on the, I don't think it's History Channel. I think it's on Discovery Channel.
On PBS. Well, yeah, it's on PBS. Discovery had some shows on it too.
Yeah,
it's a brain fitness program.
Yeah, right. And they were talking about how we how we make, different pathways, and that when one part of our brain gets damaged, because they're talking about memory and how,
right.
if you don't, how to improve your memory is the one I was watching. And it was the same kind of thing that we build, the pathways we build, and depending on how we pay attention, how can we recall them, it's how our brain, goes back to those things. And sometimes it takes shortcuts if we're not careful, which is why some people don't have as good a memory as other people. And it was just kind of interesting. So I can see that actually being, a wonderful, thing to really.
It shows that we can rehabilitate the brain to function at a higher level.
Yeah.
And brain plasticity is a tremendous breakthrough for ADHD. Because your brain is capable of change, ADHD isn't something that you have to struggle with for the rest of your life. You can rehabilitate your brain. You can train your brain to be fit, flexible, and resilient. And exercising your brain is the key to becoming smarter.
Right.
That's the way, because your brain is like an organ, and it behaves like a muscle. And the more you use your brain, the more you challenge your brain, the stronger it becomes. And using your brain will help it to grow and expand. And when we don't use our brain, that's when our brain atrophies and it weakens. And when you train your brain, you transform your life.
Yeah, and it's so true, because I had a grandpa who had a stroke, and we watched him, basically sit in a hospice bed and waste away. And, I look at some of the people who have had strokes that still get out there, and, they can't maybe do as much right away as they used to, or it takes them years, and maybe they never get to 100% functionality. But the ones who keep working, it's just like physical therapy, I think sometimes with our brain we think, oh, well, it's been damaged, therefore that's it. But it's like, well, if you break your arm or your back or, have massive, type of joint surgery, whatever, you go through physical therapy, and like they teach in physical therapy, if you don't get out there and every day do something a little more, well, yeah, eventually you're not going to be able to use that arm, leg, whatever, because you're not getting it back, conditioned back into shape.
Right.
And so
you're not rehabilitating. Yeah.
Right. And
exactly.
So I think, it's true, we need to put that same thought process. So I love the fact that that's the new buzzword, that, it's true for our brain as well, that, we need to keep at it and not just roll over. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I get sick or whatever, things aren't going my way, it's so easy, of course, to just say, oh, I just want to stay in bed and put the covers over my head and just give up, or I just feel so sick, I don't want to go to bed. And I find I get, I'm not saying everybody should do this, because, I mean, there are times where I've been completely flat in bed, but generally when I'm sick, like with the common cold or, it's something that's, where if I get up and walk around my house, I'm not going to pass out because I've used too much of my energy. But if I can, I'll push myself a little bit, because I find if I do that each and every day, I get healthier faster than if I just lay in bed and
do
nothing.
There you go. That's right. Yep.
Now, of course, when I was pregnant and I had the flu, I did not do that, because then I could have lost my child. But, there are limits, of course, to doing crazy stuff like that. However, it's true. I think that at least I saw that when I was a track runner, too. I still went and ran with the rest of my team, even when I was sick, and I found I didn't stay as sick as long because I was out running.
Right.
And I always said I was, like, running the cold out of me. So I tell people.
Well, exercise is great, and that even goes back to ADHD. A lot of times, kids are not getting enough exercise. And sometimes, some symptoms, mild symptoms, are as simple as things like diet and exercise, because our kids are spending a lot of time in front of the TV.
Yeah, that's true.
And being sedentary.
Even not a babysitter.
Well, they love those video games, and they can just sit and be entertained. And yet, and two, another sad thing is that, when I was a kid, I could get on my bike and ride the neighborhood. It's not necessarily safe in your neighborhoods anymore. There's so many crazies
right.
out there that
yeah.
you don't feel comfortable sending your kid off on the bike and say, come in when the street light comes on, like we did when we were kids.
We need a bike path. I would just love that. I would love to have a bike path next to the road that would make it safe to ride your bike everywhere, get more exercise.
Yeah, they need to maybe enlist more, like, how you have, like, different groups. Like, you get together and you have your book club. They need to, like, have groups like that, I think, more in communities. so it is safe for people. Well, Nikki, is there anything more you'd like to share, you know, about ADHD, about your book, about, you know, this treatment, you know, alternatives that parents should look into? Because, I mean, this is definitely a growing, you know, awareness, definitely. I know, like I said, I don't know a lot of people that have the ADHD, but I do know a lot of people that are fighting the autism. And, you know, I'm constantly, anytime I hear something new, I'll share it with them because I'm just like, well, you know, have you looked into this? What's your, you know, viewpoint on it? Because, you know, until we all start doing that, just like anything, then we, you know, that's when we finally start finding things that actually work, and then we can focus in on those things to, you know, improve life versus just stagger through life.
Right. Yeah, I would love for everyone to, as I said, check out my book, my website's www.trainyourbraintransformyourlife.com. One thing that a lot of people ask me, they ask me, if I use this alert brain training system that you're selling, will my ADHD disappear forever and never come back? And, well, it's not really a fair question because, you know, even medicine can't make that claim. No doctor can say, take these pills and you'll never be sick again. But right. What I can tell you is that this system that I have, it will create permanent and lasting changes in the brain. It'll make new neural pathways so that your brain will follow that rhythm of peak performance instead of your ADHD way or instead of your post-traumatic stress or your anxiety or your depression. All of those challenges are problems where your brain is parked. Your brain is like parked in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you're actually stuck there. And what the machine does is it interrupts. It interrupts the way you've been doing things and teaches you a new brainwave rhythm. But people do ask me, if I use this machine, will my ADHD not come back? The changes that you make are permanent and lasting, and those are yours to keep. What can cause you to relapse, to have a bad ADHD day, is crisis or trauma. And that could be a car accident, a fight with a loved one, starting a new job, moving into a new house. If your brainwaves, and that can be like good stress or bad stress, but if your brainwaves become unbalanced or disrupted for any reason, they may not go back to normal after the event has passed. You might go back, you might revert to your old ways, but we don't need to run to the medicine cabinet. We can just start using the brain training system again and get back on track.
Right.
And does it work as well the second time around in what you've read or seen?
Oh, yeah, it works. It's something you can use for the rest of your life.
There's no diminished effect by doing it twice.
Oh, no, people go through it many times. Yeah.
Here's a question. I should have asked you this in What about have you encountered anybody who has OCD that has tried this?
Compulsive disorder. Some people do have that, and that they check doorknobs, they check light switches,
mm-hmm.
or you get into a looping tendency where you dream the same thing over and over again. You're checking things. That's
right.
OCD. And actually, that's one of the side effects of Ritalin, Adderall, and Dexedrine, is OCD,
my
looping
OCD.
Tendencies. So, but yes, the machine has been tested on that. The sensory motor rhythm, the rhythm of peak performance, will help people with ADHD and OCD as well. And the beautiful thing about it is that it's natural. There's nothing in it but light and sound. There's no subliminals. There's no narrative. Nothing but light and sound and this rhythm that will help you to rehabilitate or train your brain. So it's all natural, and it's natural. There's no side effects to it.
Well, it's been great having you on the show and learning more, you know, about this new technique out there and the fact that it's a way to, you know, help improve your life without taking drugs for forever.
Right.
I know everybody who who does have to take drugs, I'm pretty sure they're sitting there going, yes, it'd be so great not to go to the medicine cabinet every morning and night and lay out all the pills across my countertop.
Yeah.
So, do you have anything more you want to share, Keisha, before we wrap up the show today?
No, I'm really intrigued, and I want to read the book, and I'm going to read the book. Then I'd probably like to do an article about it on my webpage, and maybe, you know, be in a position to share the good news, because I deal with parents all the time that have tried everything, and if I had something I could offer them, I would just be the most sought-after person in town. I could probably get a private practice going. But I really am intrigued, and I would like to be able to offer something that's beyond drugs.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, great. I'd love for you to try the machine as well, and have VS's son try it too for his OCD.
Yeah.
And it has a 30-day money back guarantee. So if you don't like it, you know, you can get your money back.
Yeah, it's definitely something I'm gonna be talking to my husband about, because we can't go in his room. And I kid you not, he knows when I've been in there cleaning and dusting. He comes right out and it's like, did you move this? I mean, by heart. No.
Well, you know, and if there's not a problem, it can't do any harm, can it? I mean, there's really no harm it could do, even if you weren't ADHD.
Yeah.
If you just wanted to relax, you couldn't be doing yourself any real harm, could you?
Now, there's no side effects. I had one lady buy the machine, and she works for a senator, and she says that her job is so high stress. Every time there's an ugly commercial or some sort of statement, and they're trying to come up with some sort of game plan to counteract, she said, I am at my wit's end, and I'm just a nervous wreck. I've seen a lot of my colleagues have heart attacks, get high blood pressure, start drinking. And she said, I don't want to go that route. So she bought the machine, and she said it just helped her so much. When she comes to meetings, she's relaxed, she's even keeled. And her response to stress is different, too, because she uses that machine. She's able to let go instead of responding with anxiety to stress. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Nikki. It's been great. We will get your information up on our blog, theworldofeatnetwork.blogspot.com, for our listeners so they know. We'll put the – sorry, that's the – 2.5-year-old I was talking about earlier. She has found me. But we will get your information up there too, so those listening can, you know, find it. I know sometimes when they hear us rattling stuff off, they're like, wait, slow down, you know. So we will get it up there as well. It's been a pleasure having you on this show, so thank you so much for joining us here on the Family Matters Show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
It was great talking to you.
Yeah, and then for
thank
those
you, Keisha,
who
yeah.
For those who are listening, I just want to let everybody know that, sorry guys, she found me. On May 29th, which is Tuesday, Fran Lewis will have her Focus on Discussion show. It's always a fun show where she has quite a few different authors join her, and they chat about their books and, what they have upcoming, in the future in publication. And then also on June 1st, which is a Friday, so a week from this coming Friday, is the What If Success Show. It is the last show of, I don't want to say of the year, but as we go into summer for Marcia and I to be doing. If you're looking to be a writer or a publisher and you want some tips, that's exactly what the show is about. Marcia and I get on that show. We're joined by co-host Bennett Pomerantz, who's a book critic. He's also a writer, and he is also involved in the audio media industry as well. And we share what we've learned from others, what we've learned ourselves, and basically what we hear is happening in the industry. So it's a great show to tune in and ask all your publishing, World of Ink questions that you may have for the crazy world that we all live in as writers. And that's pretty much it for us till the end of this month, beginning of June. So we thank you for always listening to us on Blog Talk Radio's World of Ink Network. And we wish you all a very safe Memorial Day weekend coming up. And we hope you all enjoy the summer. And thanks again for listening. Bye-bye.
Follow me to the World of Ink.